Yep. Give me a nod when you're ready. I'm like four. Jitter's ready. Stand by.
Welcome to this episode of Bullets and Bourbon. Tonight, I am not joined by my co-host. He's kind of been task saturated with schoolwork and a lot of other stuff going on, you know, prepping for this summer to go over to the Naval Academy. So tonight, it's just going to be me and a special guest, Don O'Beer. Now, I met Don a few years back at a local match down in Richmond, Virginia. He's extremely energetic, in your face and excitable. And from the moment he started in competitive shooting sports, he was all in. Not much has really changed since that first time meeting him, except we've had a lot of opportunities to hang out and develop a solid friendship. Now, Don, before I go on and we start getting into it, can you kind of do a quick introduction of yourself?
I'm Don. I'm probably like the loudest person out there. You hear somebody across the parking lot, that's probably me telling stories, talking to people. Started shooting in 2019 and just go everywhere again, try and have a good time.
Awesome. So I got to ask, you know, you got into competitive shooting in 2019, and that's roughly around the time we first met.
It's 2018.
Okay. Well, I met you like a year later then.
Yeah.
So why did you start shooting competitively, and how did you find USPSA and three gun?
All right, I love this story because it involves my buddy Sean that passed away a couple years ago. So I'm laying in my bed and I'm sitting there with my son and I'm just playing on my phone on Facebook, and it was the Three Gun Nation series popped up, and it was Friday night, like 7-8 o'clock at night. And they're doing like a live broadcast on Facebook, and then it was the Nationals. And it was in Alton, Virginia. And I was like, holy crap, that's, you know, just a couple hours away. So I'm watching it, and Mitch Leck's on there. And I think he ended up like losing out that night as far as the shoot-off goes or whatever. But I called up my buddy and I was like, hey, man, this thing's going on in Alton. You want to go, you know, drive down there tomorrow? And he was like, let's do it. So we hopped in the car. We drove down to Alton. And it was at Virginia International Raceway down there. And it was a pretty nice facility, but we went down there and we were watching, and all I saw was the shoot off. I didn't know anything about Three Gun Nation. I didn't know anything about any of it. And we just started walking out and watching people shoot stages. And actually the very first shooter I ever saw was Lanny Barnes. And they were out there shooting, and we went and just watched everything all day long. And then the shoot off happened. And I remember we were like, man, we're gonna get some beers. So we went out and we got some beer. And we brought it back. We're being all like stealthy and got it on our cups because, you know, guns and alcohol don't mix, even though we're not shooting anything like that. Next thing you know, cases of beer start pulling out of cars everywhere because everybody's like setting up to watch the shoot off. It was like 10 degrees that night. Everybody in the shoot off, their guns were freezing up. They were having to pound the shotguns on the ground to get them to load. It was just great. And after that, I was like, this is awesome. I am all in.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, people have heard it here before. Whenever I got into Three Gun, it was basically Three Gun Nation Pro Series on the Outdoor Channel. And just, I never knew there was a Marine Corps shooting team. And here's James Gill from the Marine Corps shooting team, you know, on there. And I'm like, we have a shooting team in the Marine Corps? This is fucking awesome. I want to do this. And I mean, immediately I started seeing what I had available, got some of the other stuff and started shooting. And then, you know, going to the bigger matches, you know, happened a couple years later. But it's that community, it's hanging out, it's drinking the beer, getting to know people and just having a good time. And that's really what does it for me these days.
It was awesome. Unfortunately, I didn't know anything about like practice score and everything back then. So the only place was Cavalier, which I think is the match we shot and met at.
Yes, that
But
one was.
back then they only used to do it quarterly. And I had to get my gear together, and because I think at the time I owned one AR, one Beretta pistol, and like a hunting shotgun, and that was all I had. So I did what you're not supposed to do, like run out and just bought all my gear. And fortunately it worked out for me. But because I missed the match, they were only quarterly. So it wasn't until June that I was actually able to shoot. It was like a half year later before I ever went out and shot my first match.
Jeez. Is
Yeah.
that where you met James Shirey?
Yeah, first match he was there. And do you remember Aaron, Evan Corr?
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, we were shooting, and you had to stow. They had wonky rules there. Well,
Yes.
one of them was you had to stow your magazine on a mag change, and he was talking about how hard it was to stow his mag, and I was like, "Well, just put it in your pocket." And if you've never met Evan, Evan wears very, very tight clothes,
So
so.
he had a dick poking out.
No, but he was like, it's too hard to try and get the mag in my pocket. And I was like, if I was wearing my girlfriend's jeans, it'd be too hard for me to put it in my pocket too. So after that, James fell out laughing, and we were friends ever since.
How'd you meet Rich Franco?
Mountain State, my first year, he just happened to be on our squad,
Okay.
and Rich, much more quiet back, like 2019. And James is kind of bold and in your face too. So he just kept asking him questions, and then we started all hanging out. We went back, and it was like that night at the bar there, we were all hanging out, and been hanging out ever since.
Nice. So, you've been competing for a while now, and for the majority of the time, I mean, you've been at the top. How have you balanced your time with family, full-time job, and staying consistently at the top?
So I wouldn't really say I'm at the top,
Well, you're
but
good. You're
yeah, I mean,
definitely.
like top 30%, something like that, 25%, somewhere around in there. But so I was really lucky because I was older, so I already had more money. I'd started my company back in 2008, so I'd already been in business for 10 years. I was pretty well established, and then I just had a really supportive family and everything because Gabriel was four. And my in-laws and my parents, they were happy to take care of him. So I just went to every single match that was around.
I
And
remember everywhere we went on the three gun team, you were there. And then everywhere the USPSA team went, you were there.
well, I didn't know anything about practice, so the practice I got was shooting matches. So yeah, and then my wife, because she was a retail manager, she was working almost all the time on Saturdays. So it didn't really matter too much if I was gone. And the grandparents, they were still in the ooh and ah over my son's stage. So they were like, give him here, bring him here. So, I was lucky. I had the time that was free and I could go out and shoot. I had enough money to do it.
Are they still on that ooh-ah stage?
Yeah, they actually are.
That's
Because,
good.
well, my dad and mom. My son's their only grandson, and then my brother's got a little girl, and that's their only granddaughter. So they're still all about them.
Nice. No, that's awesome. You kind of alluded to like shooting matches was kind of your training, but like you're a lot more mature into the sport now. So how do you spend your time training, and has it evolved into more dry fire, or do you spend a lot more time at the range?
So, unfortunately, like the time that I'm able to train, it's really, really strained and trying to run a company and everything else. So, I do some dry fire, but then pretty much the only things I actually do dry fire are lots of quad loading. And then I'll just carry my rifle around my house and I'll just randomly pick something on the wall and I'll drop down and brace up on something and just try and hold my dot as small as I can. And I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, a picture frame off a chair, a pool ball off of the back of the sofa, just anything I can find, just put myself in an awkward spot and try and build a position. I feel like, bang for your buck, those two things are probably gonna, really save you the most time in a match, especially if you're, shooting one of Donnie's matches or Jason's matches where half the match has long range targets.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But you got a farm that you could train on too, don't you?
I do, but you know, with Gabriel and everything, it's hard for me to get down there for very long. So when there's no crops in the fields, I'll slip down there, and then it's nice because, like I said, I can do pretty much anything I want there. I can shoot out to 600. It's just a time thing because it's almost a 2-hour drive, and then you got all your steel and you got to get everything set up. But that is a nice resource to have because I can actually set up like full stages, you know, that go on out there. But yeah, for the most part, I pretty much focus on quad loading because you bobble a quad load, that could be 5 seconds by the time you like get the shells back in your hand, get everything back, get back into your sequence. You bobble one, you might overwalk some targets on a jungle run. I feel like that's one of the most important things you can have.
Yeah. So when you do go to the range and train, do you kind of do just hyper-focus training on a specific skill set? Or do you practice with all three guns? Or, you know, do you just do single guns?
No, I'll do all three. Like I'll practice my dumps and in and out of position, like trying to have like pistol, rifle, whatever it is, already up so that as soon as you turn the corner on a barricade, you're already on the target. As soon as you finish your last shot, getting out of position. Then again, quad loading, like I like to do a cone drill where I set 4 cones up. And you just want to hit a fast load 4 before you get from one cone to the next and pop your shot. And then as soon as you do, you start moving left. So you'll set them up and go clockwise, go counterclockwise. And then just like I said, I've got a bunch of props that I built down there and just trying to make sure your dope's on and just build positions.
No, that's good stuff right there. Everybody has their own way of training. Everybody learns things a bit differently. So, you know, it's good to hear, you know, what other people do, especially whenever you only have a compressed amount of time to do it. So what are some goals that you're working toward right now? And we can talk really big picture or super detailed stuff, your choice.
So there's something, I don't know if you've read like Lanny Basham's book.
Mm-hmm.
With winning, what is it? Winning in mind. Is
that winning it? In mind. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there's something called outcome goals that you're never supposed to have because you don't have control over it.
Mm-hmm.
I really want a podium at one of Donnie's matches or one of Jason's matches. Like, I want it really bad, but you don't have control of that because
you can't control who's there and you can't control their ability.
Exactly. So, like last year. Something Rich and I do, we go back through our videos after we've shot the match and we'll look at long range is always a big one because like I said, that's a big time portion of 3-gun. And we go back through and we look at each target array and how many shots it took us. And I'm pretty sure I averaged like 1.6 shots per target last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to get that down to like 1.2, maybe 1.3, something like that. So basically every 3 to 4 targets, you only have one makeup shot.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about, you know, you get out to 400 or 500, you might be a second and a half a shot. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot right there. So I really want to get that down to about 1.2 shots per target. And then I just keep drilling my quad loads and I want to get those until I've done them so much that I can't get them wrong.
So, you know, talking about long range and knowing you, and this wasn't part of any of the questions that I sent to you, but you spend a lot of time reloading. And just something I wanted to ask, when you come up with a load, when you do load development, what are some requirements that you're looking for out of that load?
So, obviously you want it to be repeatable, but I don't want to have to get too specific in terms of I have to have this brass, it has to be exactly this length. I like to be able to shoot my long range with mixed brass. So mm-hmm. when I'm doing my load development, I actually do it with mixed brass. I want to be under 1 MOA because this isn't PRS, it's 3-gun. And I like loading it on a progressive press because I don't want to spend 5 hours to, you know, do 100 rounds. Brass prep takes long enough. So I'm usually looking for a relatively low standard deviation. I'm trying to group under 1 MOA and I need to be able to do it with mixed brass and not spend but so much time doing it.
What kind of projectile are you using these days?
I am switching to a 75 grain boat tail hollow point. I'm actually working on that right now. I've got somewhere around here, I've got a mag that I loaded up with 15 rounds to go test. I've
Hornady?
never done, what's that?
The Hornady 75 grain boat tail hollow points?
Yeah, and hopefully they work out because I bought
Dude.
8,000 of them and never tested it.
So I'll tell you this. With the load I developed with those, they're fucking money. I'm getting sub MOA groups out of them at 100. I've shot them out to 700 on the property I train on here. They're awesome. Like you're not gonna find much better of a better of a round. But I look at those like, so your 75 grain boat tail hollow points from Hornady are about $25 per 100, whereas your Sierra Match King 77 grains are what, 40, $45? Like 77 grains are nice. Like, in my entire time on the shooting team, that's all we shot because that's all we got. And it was a beautiful thing. So, I was relatively strategic whenever it came to I need to find an alternative solution to this that is going to be exactly what you said, repeatable and just, sub MOA and groups really well. And that's what I got out of the 75 grain. On another note, I have a friend who's doing load development with the 73 grain ELDs.
That's what I used to use. Well, actually, that's still what I'm technically using because I haven't finished my 75 grain load. And they were great. I was
Yeah.
getting 0.78 MOA groups with mixed brass. The only thing I didn't like about them, well, one, the price shot up like 10 cents per projectile. And then with that polymer tip on there, if you do anything the slightest bit wrong, if it catches on your die, if you catch it in the mag wrong, it bends that polymer tip. And then it's got to mess with the aerodynamics. I mean, I've never shot bended tips to check it out, but it has to.
Yeah, no, I think it would. And I don't know how much. And I mean, this is three gun, so is I don't know if it's going to affect it that much, but it very well could.
I think it would. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, I just rather have that perfect consistency every time. And I like the 75 grain boat tails. Like they're great stuff. Kind of like what we alluded to in the intro, when you first started competing, you went to every match you could find.
So
You seem to limit yourself now, but what logic governs which matches you attend?
when I first started, there were so many more matches in Virginia.
Yeah.
We've lost so many matches.
Only three gun match locally is the Quantico Shooting Club one, which me, Alex, and Frank put on.
And I'm glad y'all do. I enjoy that one. And like y'all are great, and y'all help me out with Gabe and stuff when I'm there, and it's awesome. Because we lost the one at Cavalier, we lost Peacemaker. I mean, even Black Creek used to do a little three gun match here and there. So I still shoot a lot of matches. It's just there's not as many to choose from, and I'm not willing to drive, but so far. So some of what I'm doing now with my matches is like I switched over to PCC and USPSA just because I'm trying to get my rifle work, close quarters rifle work down better. Down in Chesapeake, there's the all shotgun match, and it's a lot of stand and shoot down there, which that teaches you to load fast. If you're trying to be competitive and you got mad guys slamming 20 rounds in while you're standing flat-footed trying to load your shotgun, it'll make you load the gun fast and shoot the gun fast. I still try and shoot as much as I can. I really miss Peacemaker because, that was just a good match where you got to do long range. I probably train long range once every 2 months now. It's about as much chance as I really get to do it. But I try and pick stuff where, the match director's got it set up. Footwork's one of my weaknesses. So actually Quantico helps me a lot because it's really tight. Jason's match, when I can make it down there, because that's a 4 hour drive, that one's really good for tight footwork.
You know what we need to do? Like we need to link up because you and I have always driven separately if we've been down there together. We only live, what, an hour away from each other, roughly?
That far.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that.
Drive down together. I'm looking for a road partner.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
But yeah, and you talk about matches and logic, logic behind which matches you choose. Like, time on the road is one of those biggest factors. Can't get time back, and if you're gonna spend that much time on the road, the match has to be worth it. And to me, Jason's matches are definitely worth it at the local level, and his majors are just you're not gonna find a much better match out there, in my opinion.
No, he does, especially with his locals, with the size of the bays they have to work with. He does an amazing job.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the locals he could run if he was, had a facility like Peacemaker had?
Oh, shit, man. That'd be fucking amazing.
I mean, you shot there and you had, you had two jungle runs. You had three, four long range stages and two just massive bay stages, four massive bay stages. You had planes and everything else to shoot out of at a local.
Yeah. Now that would. And that's one of the things I miss about Peacemaker. I was never too. Peacemaker is a great facility. And their matches weren't bad, but they weren't great, in my opinion.
No, and I talked to the match directors there, and the reason why is they gave them no hours at, like, man hours to get things set up. So a lot of times, you're like, oh, that's all you did. But it was because they're like, hey, here, you got 8 hours and nobody to help you get it done.
And they're charging $50 per person to shoot the match.
Did you see the quantified performance match they've got there now?
No.
It's $100 for a local.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Yeah, I mean,
my money somewhere else.
I really like that match, though. I want to shoot it, but man, $100 for a local is.
I can't justify that.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's supposed to be part of a point series match, but they also make you pay $100 to join the point series, then $100 for match, and then I think the finale is in Arkansas.
Yeah, no, thanks.
Yeah,
for me, though, like, talking on matches, a lot of it now is very strategic what I go to, just because full-time job, got a young daughter that I want to spend time with. I still want to compete. I need time to practice. I run a podcast with Frank, and I'm about to start going to college again, finish off my degree. And it's like, I got to be really strategic with my time and where I spend that time. So I know what matches I'm going to.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about the fall off I'm going to have, because my son's baseball starts now. So every Saturday I'm going to be with him for baseball games. And then 2 days a week from like 5 to 7, he's going to be having baseball practice. I'm like, man, when am I going to train? When am I going to shoot? But I'll sort it out.
Yeah, and I'd say local matches have even kind of fallen off for me lately, but it's reinvesting that time with my daughter, which, right now I'm not going to get that time back, so I'm going to spend that time with her.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the truth is, like, yes, going and shooting locals, it's great practice and it's great fun, but think about how many seconds you're actually shooting in terms of, like, your training. You can go out and get 30 minutes on the range by yourself, and you probably got three times the amount of training that you got going to the locals.
And it's just, and less rounds in some cases.
Not for me. Man, when I actually do a training session, I'm usually shooting minimum 500 rounds.
Okay. No, that's good. I mean, I would average, when I was on the team, we would average 500 to 1,000 rounds.
Yeah. I'm just doing it in like an hour and a half.
Yeah, that was spread out over an entire day.
Yeah. I preload all my mags. I've actually got an LPVO on one of my PCCs. And I've got like 15 mags for it. So I use that like my rifle. Just, 223 is expensive.
Now, so, when you go to the range to train, do you go to the range with all your mags already loaded up? That way you can just get out there?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And recently I just bought a lot more mags because, you know, you take like pistol. I had like 14 mags. That sounds like a lot. You can go through that in no time. You run 6-shot, 10-shot drills, it's gone in no time.
So, you know, continuing the conversation on matches, local matches, major matches, stuff like that, you know, shooters often use matches as preparation for a particular event they want to perform well at. Is there any match you consider the culmination of the competitive season?
For three gun, honestly, you really can't beat Jason's match because they got some decent props there. They've got a jungle run every single match I've ever shot there. That's something that can really break you in a match, shotgun jungle run. So having that every single time you go there to train, like I said, their long range is pretty good. Goes out to 400. It's a shoot, you know, it's fairly narrow, but it still gets you your dope in there. And like I said, they're super technical. So you got to hit your footwork. You got to hit your loads. It's just a good match.
Yeah.
Offhand rifle, he does a lot of that too. It's usually like a little triple plate rack that he'll put up at like 50.
Yep.
But that's one of my weaknesses. So I really like that he has that because I've got the pressure on me with everybody else because, you know, JK's gonna mouth off to me if I dump a stage. So you know, at least I got a little bit of pressure on me to hit those offhand shots when I go down there.
Shoot, I think JK has his hands full with Patrick Beckham.
Dude, both of those guys, they've, like, in the last 12 months, and then Chuck, I remember, like, a year and a half ago, I was like, who the heck is Chuck Lowe? And then I'm like, Chuck's about to kick my butt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, he's really turned it on.
Oh, yeah. He's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah. We've missed each other since he really started dominating, so I can still say he hadn't beat me yet. But that's just a matter of time.
So, what matches are you looking to go to this year? Major matches, that is.
So last year I actually stepped back from a lot of matches because my wife was fighting cancer. Mm-hmm. And this year she's probably gonna want to kill me because I'm going to everything. I'm shooting the IWI carbine match. I'm shooting Battle for the South. I'm shooting the Tar Heel Challenge. I'm shooting the Pro-Am. I'm going to shoot Fall Brawl again when that comes around. I think I'm going to shoot Generation 3 Gun. I know I'm going to Multi-Gun Nationals. I really want to go shoot one of the Texas matches. The only one I normally shoot that I can't this year is Mountain State. I'm going to be on vacation with the family. That was the only week, and they moved the dates on that one.
Yeah.
But then I'm shooting like 4 or 5 USPSA majors. So I'm going to shoot a lot.
Your wife, you don't get a divorce now.
Well, I'm going to try not to.
But that kind of covers everything I had planned for asking. But is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners with before we check out?
And which listeners are we talking about? Are we talking about new shooters or?
Whatever direction you want to take it.
And. Well, if you're going to beat me and you're shooting tack, stay home for me. So I can accomplish that one goal, that podium goal. No, just, man, get out there and have fun. I mean, like, you want to perform well, but I just love seeing everybody. I like going to Quantico. I like seeing you. Were you out there when Josh was running around? Like, Cardi was out there running around in the muck boots. And dude, it's just fun, man. It's like you get to get away from everything for a second. I'm not worried about work. Like, just go out there and enjoy yourself. Forget about everything at home for a little while and just have a good time.
Yeah, no, couldn't have hit it better with that. I mean, if you're not having fun, why are you doing it?
Yeah. I mean, I'll shoot a bad stage, and if you're outside looking at me, like, you might think I'm, like, really mad and I'm having a meltdown. Like, it doesn't really bother me. Some people can be a little bit negative, and it'll, like, run them down. Like, it doesn't do it to me. Like, I can talk smack to myself for a little while, and I'll be fine when the next stage comes around.
Yeah. I mean,
try to take you seriously.
You know, I was talking to Chris Hutchison about this, and he was telling me the best advice he ever got from anybody was Joe Farwell. And it was like, he shot a really bad stage, and he was really down and pissed off and everything. Joe Farwell went right up to him and said, "You got 5 minutes to get this bitch out of you and you know, to finish being pissed off." And then you got to get ready for that next stage, because you can't fix what just happened. Those rounds are already downrange, but you can still perform on all the other stages.
Oh yeah, I think he told me that story. Might have been at Mountain State. He was telling me that story.
But other than that, Don, I really appreciate you coming on. To the listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions for Don, please reach out via social media. Reach out to me. I can get you in contact with him. And please let us know how we're doing. And we look forward to talking to you next week.